You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Trump's response to the LA protests has been a critical point this week for US politics as the public onlooks the face-off of protesters against Trump's immigration policies and his excessive military backlash. U.S.-trained legal academic Auckland University Associate Professor Scott Optican says the move threatens core rule of law and use of force principles that have guided past American presidents, saying this purposeful escalation allows him to employ anti-immigrant rhetoric to stoke fear and galvanize his political base. University of Auckland's Political and International Relations Associate Professor Maria Armudian also said it's yet more evidence of Trump's unchecked power and the country's apparent slide into authoritarianism. I spoke with Scott Optican about the implications of Trump's response to these protests and the discourse around immigration. To start, I asked him to explain how Trump's use of force threatens the principle of appropriate use of force and the rule of law.
Right. So the governor of California has actually filed a lawsuit against the use of both National Guard troops and Marine troops. And that case is going to be heard in court tomorrow in the United States. So what happened was, is you've got people who are on the streets of L.A. protesting raids by ICE agents, immigration agents. And the, you know, this is a big flashpoint in the United States ever since Trump's election. Much of the protest was lawful. Some of it got violent. And so in response to that, and largely an overreaction to that, Trump called up and federalized 2,000 National Guard troops. Now, National Guard troops are actually troops that are controlled by state governors. They are people that have ordinary jobs, and they're reservists, and then they can be called up to help keep peace and order, provide emergency relief in a state. But they're under state control. But what Trump did is he federalized them. He invoked a statute claiming that there was some type of rebellion going on in Los Angeles, and federalized those National Guard and brought them under his control, and then has deployed them, in Los Angeles in various capacities, although at the moment they're not making arrests or, you know, or doing any kind of real heavy patrolling as they would be in situations of true civil disorder. In addition, he has called up Marines, actual soldiers, you know, the ones who go out into foreign countries and engage in warfare on behalf of the United States. He's called them up. Again, they're not actually on the streets, but they are, you know, it's kind of at the moment, I think they're in front of federal buildings protecting them. And those are actual active duty, you know, troops under federal control. The reason this is problematic is because, number one, U.S. law forbids active deployment of military troops on the streets for law enforcement purposes. That's called the law of posse comitatus. It's a very old law in the United States, and it was designed to make sure that there is a distinction between the use of military force and policing, ordinary policing, and to make sure that military force is not used against civilians. In terms of the National Guard component of this, from my perspective and many other, you know, legal academics, and we'll see what the judge says, Trump was not within his rights to federalize the National Guard, to bypass the governor of California and assume direct control over those troops and deploy them on the streets, because we're not really facing a rebellion, which is what the statute requires. It's not an invasion or rebellion or any kind of insurrection. It's protests, and in protests are lawful, but with a lot of protests, sometimes some people get violent. But the police in Los Angeles are well-equipped to handle it, and the mayor of L.A. and the governor of California have made very clear that they think this is a complete overreaction. It's unlawful for Trump to take control of these troops, and worse than that, it has escalated the situation. In other words, it actually has fanned the flames and added fuel to the fire and made things worse. Of course, a lot of people, myself included, thinks that's exactly what Trump wants. Really, he just wants to pick a fight with a blue state governor. He wants to pick a fight with immigrants. He wants to use anti-immigrant rhetoric, and he wants to use the specter and of violence and an exaggeration of the nature and level of violence in order to justify the use of force, which is part of a part of an agenda to gin up his base politically. So there's a lot of political motivations to this, and then there's also just a significant amount of kind of authoritarian tendency on the part of Trump to use a military force even when it's not warranted. So that's where it's going on. And tomorrow there's going to be a hearing in a court in California. in which the governor of California has brought a lawsuit claiming that the use of these troops, both the National Guards and Marines, as a federal matter is unlawful, and that the LA police are well able to take care of it. I would also like to point out that Trump's order federalizing the National Guard didn't just apply to California. It can be applied in any states. We're starting to see protests break out in other cities and states across the United States. Hopefully, they will stay peaceful. But theoretically, the Guard in those states could be deployed there as well. So it's a very developing situation. And from my point of view, as someone who believes in the rule of law and the separation of civilian and military authority and the separation of federal authority and state authority and the desire to keep policing, you know, within proper bounds, it's all very worrying.
What kind of precedent does this set, and what kind of consequences are these actions likely to have for U.S. leadership or even Trump's presidency alone going forward?
Well, I mean, Trump thinks the consequences for him are good because he you know, his election was largely on the back of anti-immigration rhetoric, right? I mean, this is one of his big issues. You know, he ginned up a lot of false fear about immigrants, a lot of anti-immigration rhetoric, you know, a lot of xenophobic discourse about immigrants, you know, and that was one of the things that got him elected. So as far as he's concerned, you know, engaging in these immigration raids and, you know, putting down protests against them, he thinks it works for him politically. He's happy for the optics. That's what he wants. Consequences for the rule of law are really, really, really significant because it's basically an authoritarian creep in the use of force. And to the extent that, you know, governors, you know, have to capitulate to this, or, you know, this becomes kind of the new norm, then it's just one more step towards, you know, a kind of a creeping authoritarianism in the use of federal power, you know, as directed by, you know, by the president. Not to mention, of course, just the people who are caught in the middle, you know, which are the residents of cities. Who are caught up in this, the immigrants themselves, many of whom have lived here for years and years, who pay taxes, who might be undocumented, but they've otherwise done nothing wrong. I mean, Trump originally said that he was going to go after criminal aliens, people who had done, you know, bad things and who were sort of highly eligible for deportation. But what started the trouble in L.A. was actually ICE enforcement and raids on businesses and shops, and trying to take into custody people who have really no criminal records and had done anything wrong. So immigration is an issue that really needs to be dealt with in the United States. But the long-term consequences of this, other than these challenges to the rule of law that I've said, is to basically make it impossible to have any kind of rational or civilized discourse about how we deal with undocumented persons in the United States, and simply turn it into a fear-mongering exercise, you know, to gin up Trump's political base. So there's a lot of long-term consequences going forward.
Yeah, one of those things that you've kind of talked about is the optics of it all and how this plays out in the public discourse. I was wondering if you think that, or do you think that media spectacle has any significant role, in your opinion, in Trump's demonstration of power in response to these protests or in the likely effects of these events on political discourse around the issue?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, there's a narrative war going on right now. So Trump, if you hear his statements about this, he's talking about invaders and, you know, rebellions and insurrectionists and, you know, violence, and the streets of L.A. are aflame. But the people on the ground in L.A. are basically saying, look, it's effectively one square mile of downtown L.A. where the violence is, and it's under control. And, you know, this typically happens in protests. There are some people, you know, who go too far and who agitate. But there is definitely a war of narrative and a war of optics. There's a huge amount of social media disinformation going on to some extent on both sides, but far more on the right, from the MAGA right. And, you know, the Trump administration is going to pick out any individual acts of violence or whatnot and try to magnify it a thousandfold as a way of justifying their conduct, and also as a way of kind of capturing the narrative and the optics of, you know, L.A. aflame. You know, nothing could be further from the truth. In fact, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, gave a nationwide speech yesterday in which he said just the opposite is happening. It's actually the presence of the troops that are inflaming the situation. So they are creating the optics, which they are then using to their advantage. Now, what has to happen on the other side is that the narrative has to be told the other way. You know, you have to take it away from the focus on immigrants and properly put the focus on the misuse of federal power and presidential power. I also think you need to tell the story of the immigrant communities that are being deeply affected and impacted by this. You know, kids, their parents, people who've been here in the United States, you know, for years. They may be undocumented, but they've otherwise paid taxes. They've contributed to the society. And I think you need to tell their stories, too. It's one of the reasons why I think acts of violence, unfortunately, play right into Trump's hands. And if I had any message for the people there, I would encourage them to use the well-worn tactics of nonviolent, legitimate protest, because that's the optics they want. And then to tell the stories of the people who are being affected. But there definitely is a fight and control for both the visuals and the narrative of what's going on there. And we're going to see which one carries the day.
How do you think the international community should be responding to this use of force against protesters in the United States?
I mean, I think the international community should respond to it. You know, I mean, I think there are various leaders, you know, in South American, Central American countries and in Mexico who have said you need a more humane response to the problem of undocumented people in the United States. You know, occasionally you've had the Vatican make comments, you know, about a more humane approach to, you know, undocumented persons. And so I think those same people, you know, nationally and internationally, need to speak out against this kind of use of force because, you know, authoritarianism and creeping authoritarianism is a problem in many countries around the world now. And it's not just in the United States. And Gavin Newsom also made the point that if it's happening in California now, you know, it's going to start to happen in other states of the United States as well. This is not just going to be limited to California. So you really do have to stand up to this and nip it in the bud. Unfortunately, a lot of the Republicans are not going to do that for various self-interested ideological and political reasons. So the real question in the United States is who is going to be the opposition to this, who's going to stand up to it, and how effective it's going to be. So that's why tomorrow in court, it's going to be very interesting to see if there can at least be a legal challenge to this. And if a judge may be able to do something about it, but we won't know until that case goes forward.
My final question, I guess, basically in relation to that, are you hopeful for any, or is there any possibility for a resolution that satisfies protesters in relation to the issue of ICE raids and Trump's hardline immigration policies?
Yeah, to be honest, I wish I was more hopeful, but I'm not. I mean, you know, it's perfectly clear that Trump thinks that this is a political winner for him. And I think he is going to continue to engage in these raids. I think he's going to continue to use as much federal power to protect and support them as, you know, the politicians and the courts will let him get away with. So, no, I am not hopeful. I mean, the only thing that might be at some point is there might be a backlash. And you may recall in his first administration when they had this horrible policy of separating, you know, parents from their children who had crossed the border unlawfully. And that did create a huge outcry in the United States. And turned out to be, a real political loser for them. So that's why I think starting to tell the stories of the impact of these raids on, you know, people who've lived in the States for years, contributed to society, paid taxes, you know, to tell their human stories may be something that we really need to do. But in the short term, am I hopeful that he's going to stop? Absolutely not. He won't stop until something stops him, either lawsuits or protests, or governors, or people in his own party saying he's gone too far, or, you know, his supporters saying, you know, he's gone too far. But that's the problem with this kind of creeping authoritarianism. You know, you need effective opposition, but it's unclear at the moment where exactly that's going to come from.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.